Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a book that shares a look at universal energy healing, spiritual communication, and ways to awaken your intuition or inner knowing to achieve your greatest human potential. Today I welcome Dr. Irving Pulster, author of Beyond Therapy, which examines the role of life focus in three of society's most familiar activities, ordinary conversation, the arts, and religion. Many people who may not seek remedial treatment for emotional or psychological problems and for their troubled lives may be illuminated, healed, and enriched by joining community groups and activities. Hello, Dr. Pulster, and thank you for joining
us.
Hi. Irv, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I share our experiences and views on the dual nature of our energy and physical life needs and learn how to navigate our emotional inner landscape as we pursue self-development and the mastery of our emotions, which often lead to a greater appreciation for self, for life, and for our human development. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Irving Pulster, the director of the Gestalt Training Center in San Diego, inspires practitioners and change makers to take their talents and energy into our communities and establish a tradition that supports people in life-focused groups, which inspire the creation of an enlightened and greater sense of belonging to society's evolving awareness. Irv, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and either an event.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice place to go.
Yeah, and an event, a person, a place, or interest that may have been the precursor to our adult life and to the values and work that we hold dear now. So think back for a minute. Who are you? And has it influenced you throughout the course of your life?
In my early years?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about that, but as you ask the question, I'm reminded of the fact that I grew up Orthodox Jewish and went to religious services, excuse me, religiously for many, for many, many years. And so I became quite naturally accustomed to the existence of the congregation of people who came together to recite liturgy that was nowhere familiar to me from any inner experience, but which was provided by the prayer books and the clergymen and my parents and such, and which incidentally was always concerned with questions of how we lived our lives.
Yeah. Who are we? Where did we come from? And where do we
that's
go when
right,
we die?
That's right.
Those are the
yeah,
big
that's
questions.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So you did have.
But I never. I didn't have a sense, though, that in my seeking out a career that I was trying to extrapolate from that childhood. I felt no connection at all between the two as I went through life. But I realized in retrospect that there was a guiding influence that was
yes.
residing inside.
Yeah, and you know what I hear when you just told that? You were in a community, and they were working together on their own personal growth and on the community's growth. And you sort of took it into this book, Beyond Therapy, and into the work you do now. So whether you were aware of it, we're often not aware of how much we are being guided and helped by a higher force. Some of us are, but many are not. And I think that's a great story. So let's go on to why did you write this book, Beyond Therapy, and why are you the right person to address some of these issues?
Well, I wrote it as a natural evolution from what shall I call it, 65 years of work as a therapist. I've been doing therapy that is directed towards solving acute problems that people experience in their lives, very serious deficiencies in people's lives, anxieties, depressions, distortions, misdirections, various forms of unhappiness. And I was focused on trying to help them to solve those problems. What was true about these sessions, and it was evident long ago when Freud first introduced psychotherapy into the society, that this was a new way of communicating that was that went way beyond ordinary conversation in terms of each word having significance beyond itself, meaningfulness, and also enchantment. There was a kind of enchantment about the therapy experience, which is widely overlooked. People think of therapy as a chore in a way because it's so connected with abnormality and problem solving. But underneath all of that, people who come to therapy are usually extremely eager to come, want to come, wouldn't miss coming. And it's not all because they want to solve a problem.
No,
it's because
yeah, I think what you wrote is all of this and their search is part of a human mission to probe the nature of existing, their own and others. And I wrote something that sounds much like, well, I decided to write my second book, The Living Spirit, much for the same reasons you did. And I wrote, many choose to believe it is life circumstances that are at the root of the destruction of so many fine plans, intentions, and opportunities. But I believe it is the perception of limitation and self-doubt, not our circumstances, which destroys dreams and thwarts wonderful ideas. What we focus our thoughts, time, and energy on, whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether positively or negatively, whether lovingly or hatefully, sets up a ripple of interactions with other people, places, and events that brings these possibilities into reality. So I think what you were saying about the reason they start to come is one thing, but really it's always in the end wanting to dig into the mysteries of their soul life and life in general to feel good, to move from fear to happiness.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, reactivating what you're calling soul life would be one possible avenue, but I think even more fundamental is that the paying attention to your life is as natural as eating is, as natural as walking is, as natural as sex is, as natural as heartbeat is. It's just what we do as human beings. We pay attention to how we live, and we try to understand how whatever we're doing fits into the larger scheme of what life is about.
Absolutely.
And I think we're made to do that.
Yeah.
Now,
but maybe we're not aware we are doing that, but we are doing that. And that's why socialization and now what we're having with technology and texting and emails and the internet is taking us away from that search, and it's going within to the machine and away from our connection to other people and to ourselves. That's creating a problem now. Yeah.
Well, that's a curious thing you're saying, because I would certainly agree that there are a lot of false directions in the internet in terms of what happens on Facebook and such, but I would offer the idea that is a function, that is a response to a human need, and the problem with some of the chaos that we have in Facebook and some of the negative aspects, there are many positive aspects also, but
yes,
the negative aspects are related to the fact that it is chaotic. It is not directed. It is not designed. It is not led. It has no guiding principle. It has no specific continuity. It has no real substance to how you would proceed in exploring your life. It's haphazard.
Yes, thank you very much for saying that so well. And you also wrote about Eleanor Roosevelt that said that one's philosophy is not best expressed in words, it is expressed in the choices one makes. And we're going to have to make choices in regard to what's happening in the world now with the misuse of some of the technology. It can be great, but as you say, at this point, it's functioning in a chaotic way. So let's go on to how do you hope this book will impact the reader? What can they take out of it to help them in their own life?
Well, it certainly depends a lot on the background of the reader. Some readers would read the book for purposes of their own personal enlightenment without regard to any later action, but fitting into how they might get new ideas about how to view their lives. And others might take it as an invitation to join up with one of the groups that's available and to become a party to the communal exploration, which offers a larger power of the convergence of minds on particular topics, on particular themes. So, for example, if I am concerned with what qualifies as home, and we explore that in a group, that offers a sense of joining that common theme that is universally sought with the individuality of how so many people experience home very differently from others, and how to coordinate that individuality of one's own sense of home, and how perhaps to make it fit what they see in others, or to notice that there are many ways to experience home and be affirmed in their way of doing it.
You know, that brings back a memory of mine. I once said to a friend a long, long time ago who did something wrong and hurt my feelings, and I said, "And I thought you were home."
Oh, yes. I thought you were home, yes.
Meaning that when you're comfortable with people, you trust them, you
Yes.
love them, you assume they will feel and understand as you do and your needs, but perhaps I am an intuitive and this person wasn't as intuitive. So there was a different focus on
Yes.
home. But I'm glad you brought that up. It made me
But it's a
laugh.
very interesting thing you're saying, that you associated home with this person, and for at
With
least that moment, you felt betrayed.
yes, I associated home with the heart and with
Yes.
love and with
Yes.
soul development and a connection to universal spirit and the divine,
Yes.
call it God. So
Well, I remember one person expanding on this theme in one of these life focus groups, spoke about the fact that when she was from Poland, I think it was from Poland, and met the man who came to be her husband. She said she, to marry him, she wanted him to understand that if she moved to America, which is where he was from, and which was going to be necessary if they were to be married, that she wanted him to understand that when she died, she wanted to come back home to Poland. He wanted to be buried in Poland. Now, that came to be modified over the years in terms of what she experienced as home. But to her, that was a very important feeling, a very important source of homeness.
Well,
And,
yeah, her physicality, her where she had begun life and where she thought she should end it. But you can be home anywhere if you're comfortable within yourself and find peace and joy. You can be home anywhere, any place, any time. Is that correct?
well, you could be if that's your sense of home, but I think some people would have place as a like for some people feel at home in the town of their birth,
Yes, oh,
and
I
they're always
agree.
going back home, and home always is the place of their birth. They live well elsewhere, but when you talk about home, they talk about where they were born or their family. Some people think of home as an organization that they belong to.
Yes,
that if they're
true.
No longer with the organization, it's like they don't have a home.
Well,
so home.
I guess. Yeah. I guess as a medium and an intuitive, I find my home to be anywhere in the universe in thought and in.
That's a very lovely, a lovely accessibility. Yes,
right.
Indeed.
But
yes.
Not everybody has that experience.
Some people, there is an old expression, home is where the heart is.
Yes.
So your heart moves with your body.
Right. Oh, yes, we could look at
so wherever you
way.
Are is home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I'm sure I'll
some people feel at home wherever they are.
Yes, that wasn't always the case for me personally, but now it is. You can, through life focus, come to know who you really are, and then you are more comfortable in your body and in the world and in energy and in the universe. So that's what your book is about also. In Beyond Therapy, you're beyond the limits of your body into being one and unified with everyone and ultimately with Source. Yeah. But let's go on to something else. What do you feel is the best way to affect positive change in our communities and in our personal life through this life focus?
There are two aspects to that. One is these groups are not intended as therapy groups. So that we're not trying to solve problems per se, although problems do get solved.
Yes.
But we don't think of the people as coming there because there is something wrong with them. We see the people as coming there because they want to experience their lives. They want to be enlightened. They want to be enlivened. They want to be recognized. They want to be affirmed. They want to have a direction.
Well, that in itself is very healing.
Indeed, that is living well.
Yes.
Is a great healing process. But living well has its own specific purposes. Like living well might be chewing your food well and tasting it. But that's not going to solve a lot of things we think of as problems. But it will give you a deeper sense of the taste of the food that you're eating and the pleasure that exists within that. So what I'm trying to foster is the idea of furthering ourselves in the directions that are built into ourselves and that are interrupted by the complications of the world. We all have an inner movement. We all want to move forward.
Yes.
And life doesn't always allow that. There are many ways of interrupting ourselves. And the question then gets to be, how can you restore fluidity? How can you restore movement? How can you restore liveliness to the ongoing experiences that people have? And I believe that most people, all of us really, are faced with a supreme flow of experience that we can't integrate it all. We can't take care of it all.
No.
And a lot gets inside of us that we don't know what to do with. And in these groups, there's something about the stimulus of the setting up of themes and exercises for telling about the themes that opens people to this hidden accessibility within, the kinds of stories that exist within ourselves that are just waiting to be told. All they need is an invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people in the groups that you're describing would feel a brightened sense of the world at large when they're together.
Yes, indeed.
And the convergence of minds that you talk about would help them to understand shared themes or the way we're more like each other than different. And I think the context is also highlighting through sensations and memories and perspectives very important universal and individual emotions So you're part of a feeling and thinking group, a loving group. Usually, if you want to be together, you usually find comfort in being together. And you also mentioned music and poetry and lectures and films and real life stories that can give a great attraction to the human experience. So that's all part
Yes.
of this. Yeah.
You put it very well. It's it, human beings are basically storytelling animals.
Yes.
And all they need is the invitation to the story, and not only sort of sporadic storytelling or erratic storytelling, but storytelling that builds on what's waiting to be told and that is concerned with the themes that matter. So if you have stories about your ambitions, for example, where do you get a chance to talk about ambitions and how they fit into your life? You might do that with friends, but most of us don't get a chance to develop ideas like that.
Well, let's go on to how and why is personal enlightenment, because that's living well and that's getting to know ourselves and self-investigation and understanding emotions and well-being. So how and why is personal enlightenment and communal belonging such a very important part of the process of life focus?
Well, if you start with communal belonging, and personal enlightenment can come with that or outside of it, but personal belonging is inherent to human beings. We're built that way. We need other people. There is, in a sense, a quality of indivisibility within ourselves that we don't really realize because we're so obviously separate from each other. Nobody would misunderstand that I am I and you are you. There's no mistaking the difference between us. Now, so that we don't have any direct experience of the indivisibility. What I mean by indivisibility is a sense of the oneness of one person with another. But basically, we are joined together. Certainly, biologically, the fetus is joined with a mother, but psychologically, even after birth, there's a tremendous union between child and mother or child and otherness, which then gets differentiated so that we begin to feel the difference between ourselves and others. But I think there's a basic quality of togetherness which gets preempted by the power of individuality. I don't want to discredit individuality. I think it's beautiful, but it very often gets mistaken to be altogether different from communality or joining.
Yes, sometimes in separation, we create many of the fears and emotional distresses that we have, and unity can bring us back to a sense of completion. But you have a quote of well, an endorsement actually by Michael D. Yapko, author of
Oh,
Depression
yes.
is Contagious. And I liked it very much, and I'd like to read it. Polster's concept of life-focused community is rich with the potential to provide us with the support, insight, and personal growth to satisfy the need we all have to build our lives more thoughtfully and skillfully. Join the growing community of those who are better people for having done so. I love that. I
Yes.
mean, that's what you're saying and what we're talking about here, and that is the conception of home for all of us, regardless whether we think about our physical body, our spiritual body, or energy, or the divine. That is the concept that brings us past the separation, which hurts and wounds us so
Yes,
much.
yes, yes,
So let me
yes.
ask you.
And hey, but let me one more thing added to that
Yes, please.
is the idea of continuity. What I mean is, you can have a community of people who get together on this occasion or that occasion. It's not the same as having a group of people that gets together permanently.
Like a
And
family, a family.
that's right. That's right. And therapy, of course, is time bounded. And many groups are time bound, but I'm talking about these groups as being not time bound, just as religious groups are not time bound. they go on, and different people come in, people leave and come in, and but the group itself goes on, so that the mind has the chance to grow with the development of the group.
Absolutely beautifully said. I want to thank you, Dr. Ira Polster, author of Beyond Therapy, for sharing an innovative approach to group and social improvements in our communities and through the role of life focus, which show how this approach offers a wealth of specific exercises and instructions for program design that are an indivisible complement to just simply living. For more on these new perspectives of communal belonging and to purchase the book, go to Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have taken a look at a psychological approach which has a patient working with a therapist and discovering the issues from childhood and family life that may help them to understand themselves and value life with new perspectives. But Dr. Polster has shown another way to work within a life-focused perspective, using conversation, the arts, and religion to develop community groups that serve to enhance our personal awareness and our personal growth and foster healing. As Dr. Polster wrote, religion shines a light on personal behavior and purposes through biblical readings, liturgy, sermons, symbolic storylines, and ethereal music. Recently, it has instituted a small group experience modeled after psychotherapy groups. They are called relational groups. He cites ancient precedent in observing that the small group was originally part of the earliest Jewish community and became fundamental also to the Christians. The religious restoration of the relational group provides a new proportion between a vertical mindset and a growing acceptance of the horizontal mindset of peer perspective and peer counseling. Irv and I would have you discover that all of life is but a search for your own heartfelt divinity and awareness of your connection to universal life, our loved ones, our communities, and our hopes for finding greater happiness and peace within ourselves. Regardless of the challenges the outside world may present to us in connecting through conversation, the arts, religion, person to person, and group to group, we may find it simply grand to live with greater love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to leaders who explore the seen and unseen dimensions of our lives and find the truth to the magnificence of our being. Also, read more about personal development, psychic development, and energy healing. Shows may also be accessed on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.